headed into the promised land. They spent their whole time wondering about the promised land, and then so we always reference crossing the river into the promised land. On the other side of the river is heaven. I just had to say the obvious. Sometimes, all right. Back in business. But you know, sometimes we just assume everybody knows all that stuff. We talk about the other side of the river and it all being Skittles and rainbows. We're talking about like Israel standing there at the Jordan River, fixing to go into the promised land. And so that's how we reference that, crossing the river, going over there. I got to tell you, man, I love Jesus. So, I love music. I love the way worship goes and music and how all this stuff flows into us and ties into us. You know, Janis Joplin wrote a song one time, me and Bobby McGee. I would sing it, but you wouldn't recognize the tune. But here's the thing, right? One of the lines she had in that song was, "Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. And nothing ain't worth nothing if it ain't free." And I got to tell you, that's the kind of stuff that happens that we bump into that if we just want to sing like Janis was singing, well, we get all messed up. But if we want to recognize the truth of that, that's biblical. I'm telling you, that's biblical. See, freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. And that's how we want to live. That's what she was talking about. That's how she wanted to live. That's what her and Bobby McGee wanted to do. You know, they wanted to ride freight trains all around, go anywhere they wanted to go, stay as long as they wanted to, do what they wanted to, and be free to do that. Nobody bothering them or fussing with them and stuff. And we all do the same thing. We just want that same kind of freedom. And she was equating it to the world. And the Bible and God and Jesus equates it to an eternity. And Christian, you and I have eternity in our hearts. We feel that. We desire the same sort of thing. And I'm going to tell you that last weekend when I was in Amarillo and outside of some vicious rumors that I was buying sheep and goats, I was not. And I was in Alabama and I got to be a part of a conference that was there, and it was called the Unhobbled Conference. I'm going to tell you, I got me a little unhobbled. I got me a little freed up. I got me a little willing. Now, make no mistake, we hobble our ponies to keep them close to the camp. So we got a good chance of getting started in the morning when we want to without having to traipse all the way to Missouri to go catch our mount, right? But I got a little unhobbled in Alabama, and the truth of that is that's the freedom that you and I want to have, but we don't recognize the truth that sin is not my master. We bump into that and we think, there it is again. And so we get all bound up and we get to aggravating ourselves about why and again and over. And we struggle with being freed up to just go, right? We want to live in freedom, and we want to live like we got nothing to lose. And Christian, you do. Got nothing to lose. God's got us. You are in. And the evidence of you being in is that your life is about other people. What you and I do now that we have that freedom is we want to encourage the rest of the world to recognize and grasp, take hold, move into that kind of freedom. That kind of being unhobbled. That kind of life. See, what I want to say is, even though all these songs that we sing and that are in the world, they express so much of the real truth that's in us, and they can express good and beautiful and lovely and peaceful, but they can express bad and ugly and sinful and immoral. But if you're free in Christ, if you are free, if the Holy Spirit is moving and living in you, then even though Janis is singing about something that she didn't intend to be, that truth is still there. You and I got nothing to lose and everything to gain in this life. Now, I ain't the only one of us that really wants to live like I ain't got nothing to lose, right? Like I want to go do what I love to do. You know how to be in God's will? Do what you want to do. If it ain't God's will, He'll change that deal. I want to live free to be who God called me to be, made me to be, created me to be. We all have that sense and that yearning to create and to build and to do something with our life. And that is literally from God. See, you and I are created in His image. And God is a creator God. So His image is for you and I to be creative. We don't want stuff to stay the same. I know you say so, but it ain't so. What you want to do is keep on going, keep on moving, keep on building, keep on creating, creep. That's feed you put out for cows. What you want to do is just keep on being, right? And you can't keep on being if you stop. What happens when you stop being is you're dead. Living is a beautiful time. And we are created in this image to create and to build and to do and to have and to move. And it doesn't matter if you're lost or saved. We're all created in His image. Did you know that? The lost world is created in the image of God. They're out there all the time trying to create and build and do and dream. The difference is the lost search the world for their answers. And the saved, the redeemed, search the Word of God. We search for our answer, our direction, our creativity. We embrace it because of the Word of God, the promises in the Word. There's not two ways to do that. It's literally just in here. The Holy Spirit will enlighten us, but we got to be about this. It's for us. We search the Bible. So it doesn't matter that the lost even can express biblical truth. I want you to look to the book of Romans, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. About two-thirds the way through your Bible is the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then there's Acts and Romans. And in Romans chapter 1, I want you to see. If you ain't got a Bible, poke your hand up because we got a truckload of them. We give them away. And it's so big that you have one, that you read it, that you mark in it and write all over it and make notes in it and highlight it and do what you do with it. If it gets too busy, put it down, get you another one. But in Romans chapter 1, I want you to see this. Way over here in the 19th verse, it says, here's what Paul said. He said, they know the truth about God because He made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. And through everything God made, they can clearly see His invisible qualities, His eternal power, His divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Oh, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. And as a result, their minds became dark and confused, claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living, eternal God, they worshiped idols, made to look like people and birds and animals and reptiles, right? That's what the lost world does. The world that doesn't know God. Christian, you know God. You know when you see creation and nature, you know that was God. And there's not a creation to be worshiped. There's a God to be worshiped. And so we've got to never miss this deal, but we miss it so often. We got to never miss this reality that God is a creator God who so overwhelmingly created the whole universe. And then we make light of it. Oh, let me figure out how the Big Bang happened. We ain't going to figure that stuff out. God said there was. That's how it happened. We should explore. The Bible is full of science and the Bible is full of creation. So we should explore that. But we find it in here, not in the world. And when we are expressing that kind of stuff, we've got to take a hold of it in a way that we are not chasing rabbit trails that lead us out of the Word of God. Because Jesus Himself, I want you to turn to Matthew. Trot back to your left to the book of Matthew. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the first book of the New Testament. In Matthew chapter, I want you to get to chapter 5. In this Bible, it's on page 735. We know this as Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Early in his ministry, one day Jesus saw the crowds gathering, and he went up on the mountainside, sat down, disciples, everybody gathered around him, and he began to teach. And then there's about three chapters of Jesus teaching. Have you ever read that? Or have you just heard it from some preacher standing up here? Because I'm going to tell you, you got to read it, because what I'm about to do is the Cliff Notes. Anybody know what Cliff Notes are? Yeah, I thought it was a good idea in the day. Here's what he says. I'm starting in the third chapter. He said, God blesses those who are poor, realize their need for him. He blesses those who mourn. He blesses who are humble. He blesses those who are merciful. He blesses those whose hearts are pure. Blesses those who work for peace. Blesses those who are persecuted for doing right. He blesses people. He blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and talk about you and say evil things about you. He said, you're the salt of the earth. In 14, he said, you're the light of the world. Not are, not could be, not maybe, but you are the light of the world. So if the world is in darkness and you're the light, they're looking at you. They can't help it. In the dark, you look. If a light shows up behind you, you'll look. You're the light of the world. He said, don't misunderstand why I've come. I didn't come to abolish the law. No, I came to fulfill every single bit of it. All of that Old Testament stuff. He wanted to fulfill all that stuff. And then he starts teaching. He said, you've heard it said that don't murder. But he says, listen, if you were just really mad at somebody, you murdered. Right? He goes on to say, he said, don't commit adultery. Remember, that's what the Ten Commandments. Don't commit adultery. But he said, listen, if you look at another person with lust, you've already committed adultery. Are you following what Jesus is doing here? He's teaching. He said, you've heard, don't break your vows and carry out your vows that you make to the Lord. He said, just let your yes be a yes and your no be no. Don't make no big stink out of it. Don't bury yourself in your own words. He said, don't take revenge. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. He said, turn the other cheek. He said, love your enemy, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say to love your enemies. And in that way, you're really creeping them out. He said, don't do your good deeds publicly in 6 to be admired by others, or you'll lose the reward from your Father in heaven. Do the beautiful, lovely, kind, gracious, merciful things that you do because it's coming out of you. Not so other people are going to say, hey, look at that guy. He's so cool. He said, and when you pray, don't make a big deal out of it so people go, boy, that guy really knows how to pray. He said, pray to yourself. God knows. So are you doing it for God, or are you doing it so other people will see you? Jesus is really helping us here. He said, don't babble like other people in other religions do. He said, they hope their prayers are answered by just repeating these words over and over again. And he teaches them to pray. Our Father in heaven, your kingdom come. Give us today what we need. He said, help us forgive our sins like you've forgiven us. Help us forgive other people like you've forgiven us. And help us not give in to temptation. Deliver us. And he said, don't store up your stuff. Don't make your pile of horses or cattle or double rigged saddles a stout line to catch twine. Another tune you don't remember. But don't make your pile so that you have something here. He said, it's gonna go. You ain't taking nothing with you. He said, your pile here ain't what it's all about. What you do with the stuff you have here is your heart. And it's what God sees when you get to heaven. Your reward is in heaven. Where your treasure is, there your heart is. And if it's all about your bank account here, that's where your heart is. And he said, don't worry about life. It happens. Everybody has the same struggles. But God's got you. God knows what you need. He takes care of you. He said, them little Tweety birds out there, God knows every single one of them. And they don't get up every day worrying about what they got to do. They just go on to making a living. And she said, God cares more about you than he does those dang birds. He doesn't say it like that. He said, you're more important. He's got you. He's got you because he has already claimed you. Your redemption, your salvation is done. You are his. You're not becoming a better version of the old you. You have become a new person in Christ. You are God's. He's got you. The thing that's going on is me and you keep running from that thing. God's got us, but we just keep fighting that thing. And he said, don't judge. Seek ye first the kingdom above all else, and everything else will be given to you. He said, don't judge people. Talk about, you don't know their backstory. You don't know why they're where they are. You don't know why they did what they did. You don't know who they were, who they are, or where they're going. You just know that one time in traffic when they cut you off. You don't know nothing else. Don't judge people. Otherwise, they'll judge you the very same way. And he said, pray. Ask and don't stop. Knock and it'll be open. Do unto others what you'd like them to do to you. He said, the road to heaven is a super narrow trail leads to the pearly gates. But the road to destruction is wide. In fact, there's big, giant, double hinged gates on it. Because the majority of people are going that way. And some of the majority of those people are people who are saying, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all this in your name? Didn't we go to church every Sunday? Didn't we pray like the preacher told us to? Didn't we do everything that the book of rules says to do? And Jesus has said, on that day, I'll say, depart from me. Oh, we think that wide road is just full of a bunch of lost sinners, but it's going to be full of a lost church people who have decided that it's about the rules. And all of this that's going on right here, Jesus says, build your foundation on something solid, something eternal. Don't build it on what the world has because it's passing away. And I want you to see in 7 and 28. And when Jesus had finished saying all these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. For he taught with authority, quite unlike anything that they'd ever heard from any of their teachers before. Jesus looked a man in the eye and he told him how to live. He told him and taught him and it helped him and expected them to understand how to live. That's what all of that was. 5, 6, and 7 are about how to live, not about how to follow the rules. Sadly, so many of us want to follow the rules. You know why we want to follow the rules? Because if I can follow the rules, then I can go live like I want to. Jesus says, when I get a hold of you, when I have moved into you, and the Holy Spirit has redeemed you and saved you, you're a new creation. You have to fight to be the old you. And you and I fight to be the old us. Jesus said, you're new. He said, everything that you are, I've given you. Everything that you desire is yours. All that you can be, you can. It's just us that wants to go back to being me. Because I want the things that I want. My selfish self fights for me. And the reality of your salvation, of my salvation, of what God has done, is it is finished. When you were redeemed, you're settled. Jesus spent those three chapters sitting on that mountain, looking a man in the eye as a man, fully God and fully man, doing this for you and I so that he could look us in the eye and say, this is how you live. This ain't how you follow the rules. This ain't about what you do or don't do. This isn't how much or how many or how far. This is about where is your heart? Oh, I'm a Christian. Now, let me just tell you, I'm as guilty as anybody for driving by that guy standing on the side of the road with his hand out. You know why? Because I judge him. Because I think, oh, God, what is that loser doing out here again? He could. I don't know nothing about him. And so I leave my window up. I try not to look at him. I want to get by. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I'm redeemed. Jesus has forgiven me all of my mess. And I'm messy. And I want to drive by him because I don't think he's worthy of the change in my ashtray, the dollar in my pocket. I don't want to give him because I want to hold on to what's mine. I don't want to help him because I don't think he deserves any help. Who, almost cussed, who am I? Who am I? Tell you who I am, a child of the one true King. I have everything. Everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. I can do anything. I can do all things. I am a child of God. I have more than I'll ever need. I can do anything that God calls me to do. And when that guy shows up on the side of the road, it's divine intervention. It really is. It's divine intervention because you know what God's doing? He said, are you still about you, Brett, or are you still about me? If I go by him, I'm still about me. And where does that not happen? What area in our life does that not happen? This is so crazy, but it is profound for us to understand what happened in 28. Jesus was teaching people as people. He was fully man, telling people how to live. People who expected to follow the rules. That's a picture of us. And Jesus is looking people in the eye and saying, you can do this. This is how you live. This is the way God intended. This is the creative expectation of God from Genesis to Revelation. And Jesus condensed it into a few chapters in 5, 6, and 7. He literally tells you and I, this life's worth living. And there's a way to do it beautifully. And if we will give ourselves to it, it doesn't matter what it looks like here. My treasure is in heaven. My reward is in heaven. My heart is in heaven. If I'll give myself to it. You see, here's where I want to get to. Here's the punch in the face. Here's that kick I didn't see coming. Here's the part that really is such so painful. We want the rules. Because we don't want to be changed. But I am changed. We want to know where the fences are. Because I don't want to change. But I am changed. Does that make sense? Do you follow that? Can you grasp this thing? I don't want to change. I'm already changed. That's me fighting me. God's done something in me. God's done something in you. It's done. It's finished. You are. Why am I holding on to me? Here's the truth. We feel like if we could just follow the rules and not really be changed, somehow we could squeak into the pearly gates. But God redeemed us. To walk boldly, to stand boldly, to go boldly, and then for us to enter heaven. You follow me? He redeemed us for something here, in this place, in this town, in this family, in this state, in this country. He's redeemed us to do something here, boldly. We're not sneaking into the pearly gates anywhere. When that time comes, we're going to walk in there. And it'll be St. Peter talking about the herds over there. Catch one of them horses, even if you don't ride. Revelation 19 says, one day you will. The thing is that we are born again to serve this Creator God with all we have. Oh, all means all. There's the part that hurts us so much. Here's the part we struggle with. This all. That means all our time, all our money, all our things, all our life. And anything less than that is not okay. It's not okay. Oh, wait a minute, man. What about my job? I can't even talk about Jesus at my job. Well, maybe you ought to quit your job. I'm telling you the truth. God didn't put you in a job where you can't be you, child of God. Well, I can't do this there. Well, then maybe you ought to change that. Because if you can't be a child of the King where you are, that's wrong. Not your circumstances, not God. in your family, in your life? What about all my money? I got to pay the rent. God says we should do everything to glorify Him. I want you to see this. First, I want you to turn to John chapter 3. You're familiar with this, John 3:16. I want you to read how he got there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 3. In this Bible, it's on page 811. I want to read this to you. I'm going to start in the third verse of John 3. Nicodemus says, whoa, I know that you're a great teacher. So what's going on here? And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. Unless you're born again, Jesus used those words, you can't see the kingdom of God. You're not redeemed. You're not saved. You're not going to heaven. And Nicodemus said, what do you mean? How can an old man get back in his mother's womb and be born again? It makes no sense whatsoever. I can't grasp it. It's impossible. What is going on here? And Jesus said, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. I'm asking you, do you feel your spiritual life? He said, don't be surprised when I say you got to be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, and you can't hear the wind, and you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. And it's so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. But it's true. It's true. It happened to you. It happened to you, and you feel it. You know it. You recognize that it's true, right? This is the beautiful truth of all of this. We were born again in this body to serve and to give to the Creator God who redeemed us, who took us back to Him out of this lost and broken world. Talk to your right to the book of Ephesians. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians. And then when you get to Galatians, you're just three pages away from Ephesians. And it's on page 895. And in Ephesians chapter 1, he said, all praise to God, the Father of Jesus, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we're united with Christ. Even before He made the world, God loved us. He chose us to be in Christ in advance, to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus. And this is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. And so we praise God for the glorious grace that He's poured out on us who belong to His Son. He's so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. He has showered His kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. The redeemed have these qualities. Now, God's revealed to us His mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill His own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, He'll bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. And furthermore, because we're united with Christ, we have received an inheritance, and He makes everything work out according to His plan. God's purpose was that the Jews would first get a hold of this, and they would bring praise and glory to God. And now the Gentiles have also heard this same truth, this good news that God saves you. And when you believe in Christ, He identified you as His own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom He promised long ago. The Holy Spirit who didn't used to live in the world, who used to come and go, who used to show up, do things. And now, since Christ has gone back to heaven, the Holy Spirit comes into every redeemed believer again and stays in you. You are a temple of the living God. The Spirit is God's guarantee that He'll give us the inheritance that He promised and that He purchased us to be His own people. What does it say there? And He did it so that we would praise and glorify Him with my money, with my time, with my family, with my job, with my truck, with my shotgun, with my horses, with my feet, with my hands, with my eyes, with my mouth. What did He leave out? Everything means everything. Everything means everything. There's not a part of your life that we should not be praising and glorifying God. But there is, isn't there? I are one too. The reason that happens to us is because we fight for self. Don't miss this. We don't just do it on the first thing in the morning. We praise and glorify God all day. We don't just do it on Sunday. We do it on every day. We don't just do it with a percentage of our money. We do it with all of our money. Not with just part of our day or part of our life, but every day with our whole life. I am here. We all are here. And we all have the things that we've been given for one express purpose. To glorify God, the Creator, who created us to be creative, to do the things that we're doing. And we should do that to the glory of God. We shouldn't talk about our own little touchdown dances. We should talk about what God gave me the ability to do. But we get caught up in our own little touchdown dances. So you want to be where God called you? You want to be who God said you are? I do. Then we've got to settle this part. Next week, I want to come fighting. We got to settle this thing. You are not just redeemed. You're new. You're a new creation. You have been changed. You're not being changed. You are. You have. You can. And if you're not, it's because you're fighting the thing. It's because you're taking it back, because you're picking it up. Listen, no matter what we have, who we're with, where we are, we have to be about God and for God to glorify God. That ain't a bad thing. But we start talking about, well, how do I pay the rent? I don't know. That's God's deal. Maybe I'm spending too much in rent. How do I make that truck payment? Maybe God didn't tell you to buy that truck, but you did. You can't ask God to make that thing work out, right? You follow me? Because if we're about God, for God, and tuned to God all the time, we will glorify God. We will. So surrender and lordship, that equals freedom. Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. That's how I want to live. That's how I want to live. I know that's how you want to live. So we're going to spend some time in Scripture in the next few weeks figuring out how we take a hold of the truth that God has already done in us everything He needs to do. He's just busting at the seams waiting for you and I to turn it loose. Pray with me. Lord, You say in Your Word, Paul tells us in Galatians that we were bought with a price, saved, redeemed by the blood of Jesus, that we've been created new. We're reborn in the Spirit with all the heavenly blessings that there are, that the Creator God intended. And we strive for ourselves. We fight for ourselves. We hold back so that we feel like we've got something to keep. Lord, set us free. Unhobble us. Let us run. Encourage us. Strengthen us. That not just here on Sunday we agree with Your Word, that we feel Your Spirit, but that when we walk out of here, we live free. We live redeemed. It's easy to say, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Lord, move in our lives. We thank You for this time. We thank You for Your Word, Your Son Jesus, and all that He's done on the cross. And now, Lord, our prayer is that we'll walk out of here and be changed. Thank You, my King. It's in Your Son's name we pray. It's in His name and on His authority that we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen.
Some plans.
restless shore, I'll find a way.
I'll fly away.